I'd like to look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 5. And I title the message this, Seek Ye the Lord While He May Be Found. Now that's a long title. But Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, to you may not be talking about that. To you, maybe when you read Ephesians, chapter 1, you get a totally different subject than that. But I think it's involved in here. In this, I think that seeking the Lord is involved in the subject that Paul is bringing up. Let's read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let's go ahead and read verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious Father, I pray, Lord, that You might take this word and use it for Your sake. And Lord, for Your glory and for Your honor, give me clearness of mind. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless my physical infirmities that I might be able to bring forth the word that You've given, that precious eternal word. And Lord, I pray that You might make it real to each one of us here today. And Lord, that You might touch us, that You might impress by Your own Holy Spirit those that are lost and saved alike, that we might seek You, Lord, in Your bounty and Your grace and Your mercy toward us. Bless and keep us, Father, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I read this passage, a lot of times people will read the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and immediately the only thing they think about is predestination and election. But when I read this, I think not only of election and predestination and what it is, but I also think about the guy that wrote the book. Well, who was that? Well, it was the Apostle Paul. And you know, he was one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. You think about it. And when you think about those two things together, it ought to give us a right viewpoint of what Paul is talking about when he's preaching here, when he's mentioning predestination, and when he mentions the fact that we are predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, and how that, in verse 4, how that we're chosen in Him before the foundations of the world. A lot of people get the wrong idea about election. And there's a lot of different ideas about what election is and predestination. The word election defined means chosen. And it is a fact that God chooses before the foundations of the world those that will be saved. That is what God has done. It is indisputable in the Bible. Regardless of that, there's a lot of different viewpoints about it. There are those that say election just doesn't happen. There are those that say God did never choose. Well, they can say what they want to say. I mean, God said it. And you can read it very plainly there. There are those that say, well, election is not God choosing us before the foundation of the world unless He chose us based on some merit of our own. Well, there are those that believe that God looked in the future and saw who would believe, therefore elected them to salvation. There are those that believe that. Now, there's no scripture that says that. The Bible also says that there is such a thing as total depravity, that every person is lost without the Lord, that we're all doomed to destruction unless God does something. There is that. There are those that follow the teachings of Jacob Arminius. They are called Arminian, who believe that it is man's choice, not God's. And of course, there are those that follow the primitive Baptist, or they're also called old school Baptist, or they are called hard shells. I guess that's a good name for them, and they are hard shells indeed. They're anti-missionary. Now, in that group as well, there are missionary primitive Baptists. Not in preaching the gospel, but in establishing churches. Now, I know you can figure that out. I'm still working on it. So there's various views of election that takes place. Some folks are staunch followers of John Calvin, declaring that the Calvinistic doctrine is the correct doctrine. However, not understanding that John Calvin did not even originate the tulip that he is accredited with. That acronym, tulip, was actually devised some 40 years after he died. That's T-U-L-I-P. You know, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. You with me? All right, I just want to make sure we're all together in the same spot. We are not Calvinists at Independence Baptist Church. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not an Arminian. I do believe in election. I do believe in predestination. I do believe God knows all about that. But we are followers of Jesus Christ and not of a man. We are not baby baptizers as John Calvin, and we're not Presbyterian as his followers are. We are Baptist, followers of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what we want to do. So that's how we want to be. But I don't want to be afraid of election at all, because it is a Bible doctrine. It is an absolute truth in the Word of God. It is an absolute truth that God chose us, as it states in verse 4, before the foundation of the world. What's the title of the message? What was that? What did I title the message? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I know that's a long title. Well, how can that be? If we are predestinated, if we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, what's this thing about seeking the Lord? Well, it's Bible truth. It's Bible truth. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. It's oftentimes been said, and I think it's absolutely true. It's an old illustration. I don't know where it ever originated from, but it's a very good illustration. And it shows exactly where we stand on this doctrine of election. The Bible says that Jesus is the door of salvation. That's true. The heading over the door says, whosoever will may come. And a lost person looks at the door, who is Jesus, who says, whosoever will may come, and that's what they do. They come to, they're the ones, and they're seeking the Lord, and they come to the Lord. And they get through the door after salvation. They look back, and the sign over the door, which is Jesus, says, chosen from before the foundation of the world. That's absolutely the truth. Those two things go together. And indisputably so, God says, seek me. And also, it's indisputable that God has chosen us from before the foundation of the world. Now, those two things are there. The old adage that there are those that want to be saved that cannot be saved because they were not chosen before the foundation of the world is a lie. It is not the truth. Anybody that desires salvation can be saved. When they come as a lost sinner to Jesus Christ, confessing their sins before the Lord, repenting and trusting in Jesus, they can be saved. You see, I'm not saved in eternity past. Election is not salvation. Election is God making that sure. But I am saved in time. You mean prove that to you? I like to prove that in the Bible. Because I've said a lot of things, but I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 1. Wow, in the same chapter? In the same chapter. Look here what it says. Let's read here in verse 11. And I know I'm picking up in the middle of a sentence here. Ephesians 1:11. He says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." And we have obtained this inheritance. "Being predestinated," there's that ugly word again. No, it's really a good word. "Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." That is because. So God here has given to us an inheritance. We are predestinated according to God's purpose, that He has a reason for what He's doing. Verse 12, "that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ." So the overall reason that we're saved is to glorify God. Now look in verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted." Now this talk about salvation. Now see, election, that happened a long time ago. Well, it happened before there was time. Okay, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? I don't know how to explain that. But he says, "in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." See verse 13 and verse 14. What's that talking about? That's talking about salvation that occurs in time. Election is a long time ago, but salvation is in time. And that's the way it is. And what is it that causes a person to be saved? It must be election. Why, no. Read verse 13 and it'll tell you what it is. See, this is the cause. This is what brings about salvation. It says, "in whom ye also trusted," and Paul is writing to the folks there at the church at Ephesus, and they're saved the same way we're saved. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." You know what they heard? They heard the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They heard that they were sinners. They heard that they needed Jesus, and they repented. And when they saw Jesus, and He said, "Whosoever will may come," you know what they did? They came. They came, and they walked through that door of salvation. God granted unto them salvation, everlasting life. And they looked back, and they said, "Wow, God knew me before I was born. Wow!" Well, that makes it good and strong and solid and sure. You see what that is, though? And he says, what happened when you were saved? When you were saved, that is when you received the Holy Spirit of promise. He said in verse 13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And you know what that is? That is earnest from God. And you know what it means to give earnest money, down payment on a house or down payment on a car, something like that? When you received salvation, That is, not everything you're going to get. It's just a small down payment. Let me ask you. How much down payment did you put down on your house? Well, see, it's been so long ago, I don't remember. Maybe you just bought one. You ever bought a car? How much money does it take to put down on a car? You know what? One time I bought a car, and I forget what the thing costs now. I remember how much I put down because I didn't have no money. But we scraped up $500 to put down on a car, and we bought that car and drove it off the lot. That $500 was earnest that I'm going to pay the rest of it. The financing was already established. Right? But the car cost $8,000, I'm saying. Maybe more, maybe less, I don't know. I know I buy cheap cars and it's a long time ago. Yeah, I know. But you know what? See, that's what salvation, that's what we're getting. Because when we receive salvation in this life, and we receive the Holy Spirit, it is just the earnest. There's gobs more coming. There's gobs more on the other side that we're going to receive. And all of this is because of what the Lord has done to us. In verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, it's the earnest of our until redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So all of this thing, God is going to work out. You see, here it is, that we don't need to be afraid of election. Election is what God has done to bring us to Christ. God is in charge of this world, but we need to seek the Lord while He may be found. We need to look to the Lord. We need to do what God wants us to do. I want to read about four passages that talk about this very thing. The book of Psalms 14 is the first one. Psalms 14. Years ago, in studying this passage, the Lord revealed this to me. It's been a blessing to me ever since. Because the Lord did look down from heaven. And you know, there are those folks that say, God looked down from heaven and foreknew who would believe, therefore elected some to salvation. But let me read you what the Bible says about that. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the Bible said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." You believe that? Hey, that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. That's what it says. That there's none good. No, not one. Here in verse 2. The Lord, now this is God Himself, looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So God looked down. God was in heaven, and God looked down from Adam to the very last man that had ever lived on the face of this earth. God looked at everybody all at once, and God can do that. And you know what God saw? God said in verse 3, "They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." And here's the thing. When God looked down upon this earth, He saw everybody in sin. There was none righteous. Look. Now today you might say, well now wait a minute, there's this division. We've got the elect and the non-elect. Listen, when God looked down upon this earth, before the foundations of this world, He saw sin, He saw Adam, He saw what Adam was going to do, and He created the world anyway, all of this for His own glory and honor. And He saw every person a sinner. There was none good. No, not one. There was none good. None righteous. Not a one. Say, wow. Wow. You mean we were all in the same boat? Exactly. Exactly. How many people was going to heaven?
None.
How many was good?
None.
It was therefore that God has chosen some to salvation. Look in the book of John, chapter 15. Now, and what's the title of the message? I think I need to remind us every now and then what the title is. It's Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And here, this is the condition. And I want to impress upon you that we are absolutely, totally reliant upon God for our salvation. There's not enough good that we can work, because there's no good in any of us that we could work any good. Amen. Brother Wilbur Johnson said one time, and I think it's correct. He said when people go to hell, they're still sinners. And even in hell, they keep sinning against God. Wow. That's a concept. But the book of John, chapter 15, we give God the glory for our salvation. John 15, verse 16, here's what Jesus said. Not what I say, it's what Jesus said. You can argue with the Lord about it. But it's still, we need to seek the Lord. He tells us over and over again to seek Him. You have not chosen me. John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There it is. See, we're relied upon God for our salvation. People will never get to heaven except through Jesus Christ, His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. That's how forgiveness of sins takes place. So, well, how do I know that if I'm one of the elect or not? Here's how you know. You come to Jesus and let Him save you. Then you'll know. So what if I come and He don't save me? Impossible. You come, He'll save you. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus was upon the face of this earth, how many people did He refuse to heal? None. He healed everybody that came to Him. You know why He did that? Because that's all that is a symbol. It's a type of how many people He'll turn away when they come for salvation. Any person that comes, say, wait a minute, He didn't save the rich young ruler. No, He didn't, but He told him how. What did He tell him? He said, look, rich young ruler, your problem is that you are trusting in you and all your good, and you don't have any good, and you need to sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and come and take up your cross and follow me, and I'll bless you. That young man who came running to Jesus also went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, because he didn't like the message. Anybody that comes repenting and trusting Jesus will be saved. You say, wait a minute, there's just too bad of sinners. There's wicked, mean sinners out there that's done a lot of bad things. Don't make any difference. Don't make any difference. Listen to what I'm telling you. It don't make any difference what you've done in your past. Whether you've been good or bad, don't make any difference. You come as a sinner, Jesus will save you. You know He saved Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians? Did you know that he saved the Apostle Paul? And the Apostle Paul was the one that held the garments of the folks that stoned Stephen? Did you know that he saved the Apostle Peter? You ever think about who Peter was? Boy, loudmouth fisherman, arrogant. You think Christ could save a loudmouth? Sure could. You know somebody else Jesus saved? His name was Barnabas. You remember Barnabas? The son of consolation. Jesus even saved his own half-brothers. Jesus even saved his mother, Mary. He saved good and bad. No, he saved all the bad ones. And they were all bad. But he saved them and made them something. We're dependent upon the Lord for our salvation, you see. He'll save. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 3. Ephesians 2 verse 1 through 3. Refer to this passage just a little bit ago. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, 2 and 3. And the Bible makes this very, very clear. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened there means to be made alive. And we have received the gift of life. We've received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's His blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. And there's a debate about, and it's a silly debate, really. A lot of those theological discussions are just round, round, round. They don't answer anything. But there's a debate about would Jesus' blood be wasted? Or what if Jesus didn't shed enough blood? You think God don't know what He's doing? I mean, and that's not for me to worry about. There's some things that are just hidden from us. There's some things God wants us to just trust Him in. He wants us to believe Him instead of trying to theologically understand it all. Just trust Him. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Who's He writing to? He's writing to the church at Ephesus. We read some in chapter 1. But He says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Now the word conversation doesn't mean what you say, it means the way you live. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, we're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4 makes it very clear. It is God that's made the difference. I said this before and I'll say it again. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved my soul. And that's it. He had mercy upon me and touched me and brought me to Himself. I'm just like everybody else. We're all in sin. But it's Christ that's made a difference. It's Christ that's touched me. It's Christ that saved my soul. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, we find the same thing. So we read this a couple of times. We know that the Bible interprets the Bible. We know that what it's saying is absolutely true. Here in Titus, Paul is writing to a preacher, Titus. And he says in verse 1, as he admonishes Titus to keep on preaching the truth. All right, just keep on preaching, keep on preaching, keep on preaching. He says in verse 1. Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. That means obey the laws of the land. That's what that means. And Paul is telling Titus, you keep telling these people to obey the laws of the land. So when I keep telling you that, that's an old, old story. Because sometimes we don't want to obey it because it don't fit our thinking. But Bible, I tell you one law they got that it don't fit my way of thinking at all. When they say April 15th, your taxes are due. That kind of goes against my grain somehow. But you pay it anyway. You pay it anyway. Why? Because God said to. And God take up a difference. God will make the difference. In verse 2, to speak evil of no man, I'll shut my mouth. I cannot say anything then. Well, consider it, is what he's saying. And that's important in verse 2. To be no brawlers, don't be fighting around, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, whether you like them or not. And here's what he says in verse 3. And he's writing here, and he said, okay, Timothy, you stay with it, for we ourselves. And Paul is writing in this place, I think, about himself and about Titus, who are now preachers. But he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Yeah, that's what we used to be. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See how all that ties in there? That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yeah, election's in the Bible. But salvation's in time. And Paul said, I used to be like that. I used to be wicked, undone. I used to be not fit. But God made me fit. It is to God be all the glory. To God be all the honor. And you think about what it says there in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. That we are saved for the glory of God. And you think about how that after we're saved, we look back at our former life and we can glorify God because He touched us and brought us out of that garbage. And now we can have happiness and a measure of peace. And we can see that what we have is just a small portion of what we're going to get. Because we have the Holy Spirit whenever you're saved, which is the earnest of our inheritance. But that is just a little bit as to what we're going to get. How much is it going to be? I don't know. Look in the book of Isaiah, if you would. Look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And here is what Isaiah, preaching to the Israelites in that day, said to them. Isaiah 55, and we can read there in verse 1, where that God admonished these people to come. He said, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. See what? This is the balance, folks. This is the balance that we ought to understand. God wants us to have confidence in Him, but He wants us to come to Him because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who lowered Himself to come down to this earth to take upon Himself the form of a human person. That is lowering Himself. Because God is spirit. And they that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But God has lowered Himself so much that He was born in a womb that He Himself had created and came into this world without any sin and lived upon this earth and suffered all of the garbage that goes on down here. And yet without any sin. He endured all that for us. And so He says, if you're thirsty, you come to the water. That's what He's saying. If you want to be saved, then you come to the water. Who's the water? Jesus is the water of life. That's what He told the woman at the well. And she said, well, the well is deep. He says, you just ask, I'll give it to you. See, salvation is free. It costs Jesus, but it don't cost us. It's free to us. Jesus is the one that paid. If you don't have any money, He says in verse 1, you come, buy and eat. You come buy wine and milk without money, without price. He says in verse 2, here's what you're doing. You're spending your life, you're spending all that you have for that which is not going to help you at all. You're going to the grocery store and you're taking the best that you have and you're buying fly-infested, maggot-infested food. And it won't, you can't even use it. It's no good to you at all. It's what you're using. Said so all your labor is going for that which don't even make you happy. You're working and working and doing all that and you get no benefit whatsoever from it. He said, hearken diligently. He says, I want you to come and I want to give you something that's good. This is good. This is not garbage. This will satisfy that longing that's within you that you know is in you. You know that emptiness. You know that desire. This will do it. You come to Jesus. That's what He's saying. Let your soul delight itself in fatness and not in worms, but in fatness. I'll give you that. I'll supply. Verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. See what He's saying? Yeah, I know elections in the Bible. Jesus is saying here in Isaiah, He's saying, Israelites, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations they knew not thee shalt run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. That's the blessings that God's going to give. God is going to fill you up to overabundance. He's going to give you things you can't even think about. But you come to me and you trust me and I'll give them to you. If you try to figure it out, you'll never get it. But you come to me and trust me and I'll give it to you. Verse 6, He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. That's what He's saying. Let the wicked... Is that you? Let the wicked forsake his way. That's repentance. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. More than just deeds. But thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. It didn't say maybe. It said he will have mercy upon him. And to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. You say, well, I wouldn't. Those people that hurt me, I'm going to hurt them back. Look at the next verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God don't think the way we do. I know that those people that hurt me, that's my first thought. You hit me? You hit me with your fist? I'm looking for a board to hit you with. You hit me with your car, I'm looking to get a big truck to get you. But Jesus said, I don't think that way. I'll forgive you. I shed my blood on the cross of Calvary. I came and I died that you might live. I will give you everlasting life. The title of the message is Seeking the Lord While He May Be Found. It came from that passage that I just read, Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Election is true. But do not let election hinder you from coming to the Lord. And let me say, you need to come to Jesus. He is a person. He is God. And that's who you come to. You don't come to all your understanding. You don't try to figure everything out. You just believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You come, repent that you're a sinner. You repent of all your sins. List them out. Well, that one got me. Because I was afraid I would forget one. And if you forget one, that's enough to doom you. Because if you have made one sin, you've broken a whole law. And God has to take care of all of that. I want to read one final passage as Jesus is speaking here in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Bible said in verse 28. And Jesus is here doing the talking. Election is true. God has predetermined from before the foundation of the world, and yet this is also true. He says to you, as He's spoken to me, He said this, Matthew 11:28, Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Boy, what a lesson that is. What a lesson that is. Jesus says, you come. Are you laboring? Have you got a burden? You got something that's bothering you? Bring it to Jesus. That's what He's saying. He's saying that's the saved and lost alike. If you're lost and you're concerned about your eternal destiny, you bring that to Jesus. And you just do business with Jesus. You know what praying is. That's how you talk to Jesus. And you know how He talks to you? It's through His Word. You read His Bible and He'll speak to you through that Word. I mean, He'll make Himself plain to you. You want rest? You see, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Bring it to the Lord. Leave it there. You want rest? He says in verse 28 and in verse 29, I'll give you rest. That's His promise. And you know why? You know how you can know He can do it? Because of who He is. He's God. He can do it. You just trust Him. He can do it. He can take care of it. Then He says in verse 30, For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When you get to worrying, that verse right there, well, it rebukes me. When I get to worrying, that verse rebukes me. When I get to be overly anxious and concerned about things, I think about that passage. And the reason that I'm over anxious and worrying and concerned is because I've not brought it to Jesus. I need to take it to Him. Sometimes the situation is still there, but it's different when Jesus is carrying the load. It's different because I know He's in charge of things. May not turn out the way I want it to turn out, but He's still in control. And I'm glad. He's in control of my salvation. He keeps me, you see? And He'll save your soul. I pray God will bless you today that you might seek the Lord while He may be found. Brother John, come please and lead us in this hymn of invitation if you would. Let's stand, if you would, as we sing. Pray that God will bless His Word and help us that we might be able to come to the Lord because He's the God that can take care of it for us. He's very well able to do it. God bless. Brother John.